Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entering the world of Crisis on Infinite Films, brought to you by All Too Real 2 Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is
Sesame Fury Incarta.
Are you furious?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was betrayed by a kiss.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
Especially like when it's a Hershey's kiss.
And it has like toxins on it.
No, I got betrayed by a Hershey's kiss once, because what happened was I don't really like almonds, and I bit into one, and it had an almond inside of it for some reason.
Almond.
Yeah, that was weird. Nothing against people that like almonds, but they're gross to me. Because they taste like almonds.
Yeah.
But I guess it could be worse.
It could have been. It could have been like, you know, toxins from, like, some kind of serum, or maybe, like, the pollution from East Palestine, Ohio, seeping into the Hershey plant or whatever, Pennsylvania, but...
That very well could happen.
Yeah.
But you know what? Deregulation is awesome.
It is. It's so cool.
It's gonna kill us all, but it's awesome.
Makes me Nicholas furious about it.
Yes. Nicholas furious.
I couldn't really come up with a good pun, but neither could Nick Fury in this movie come up with great puns, so I guess we're kind of on equal footing there.
Or great dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
True.
The stuff that makes a good superhero movie.
Yes. Does.
So anyways, folks, if you haven't gathered yet by the title of this episode, we are covering the 1998... made-for-TV movie, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's aired on the Fox television network. It was intended to be the pilot for a possible television series. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It cost $6 million to make.
So they're going to make a whole series out of this?
Yeah, they were going to have this as the debut movie and then have like an hour television series every week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the plan, but
it
didn't work. This was written by David Goyer. If you're unfamiliar with his name, David S. Goyer wrote the Blade trilogy.
Wow.
He wrote Christopher Nolan. He was a writer on Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. He wrote Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Yeah. Just to name a few.
So he really moved up from...
Yeah, after this. Yeah, he also was a writer on the video games Call of Duty Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Okay.
Yeah. He also, what else did he write here? Before he wrote this, actually, he wrote Blade right around the same time that this came out. So, yeah. He also wrote The Crow City of Angels, which is the sequel to the Brandon Lee Crow movie. He wrote Kickboxer 2, Death Warrant, Demonic Toys, The Puppet Masters.
I've seen both those movies, Demonic Toys and Kickboxer 2.
Yeah. He's also written the movie Jumper, Terminator Dark Fate, latest remake of Hellraiser. Never like television. He's worked on things like the television series Krypton. Currently, he's working on The Sandman on Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah. He also worked on the really interesting show in 2009 that lasted one season called Flash Forward that I liked. Not the Flash Forward from back in the...
Yeah, two different shows completely.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Ben Foster's going to be, like, graduating junior high and suddenly he finds himself on, like, a different timeline or something like that.
Yes.
Or whatever. That
it was about, like, this... It was really good. I can't remember most of it. I know John Cho was in it. It was like a moment of time disappeared or something, and everybody like blacked out for that moment, and then I don't know, and like it was trying to figure out what happened during that time. And
it
weird
didn't.
Shit.
You, it seems like Manifest pretty much copied that show completely because
did
wasn't
they?
It like if you had a dream or something that you died or something like that? Or
yeah, I still haven't seen Manifest. I want to see that. I hear it's good, but
but it seems like it's almost like a direct copy of Flash.
Yeah, it's Flash Forward was, I mean, it was a high concept narrative where a mysterious event has caused nearly everyone on the planet to simultaneously lose consciousness for 137 seconds. During which time people see what happened to be a vision of their own life approximately 6 months in the future. So during that 130, yeah, that's what it was. I remember it now. Yeah, it was a good show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Joseph Fiennes was in it too. It was good. Should have lasted more, but it was kind of like jumping on the Lost bandwagon.
Yeah, it was kind of shortly after that. So
yeah, it was kind of ABC trying to, you know, not get lost. Oh, sorry.
Not get lost in the shuffle, yeah.
Yes. the show got lost in the shuffle. Anyways, so back to the topic at hand here. Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., starring, you know, of all people in the world that could play Nick Fury. And, I mean, this is white Nick Fury, so we're good, you know, we're not, you know, it's not anything weird, like, you know, because later on he became black in one of the timelines in the comic books and was based on Sam Jackson's look. So, yeah, and then they cast Sam Jackson, which was perfect. So this is a different Nick Fury. Same Nick Fury, but different Nick Fury, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyways, David Hasselhoff actually looks the part, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he did a decent job with what he was given, I think. I mean, I'm a Hasselhoff fan, so I can't really say anything bad. You know?
I mean, it's the Hoff. The Hoff knows.
Yeah.
He's in on the joke at this point, or he has been for a time. So, but that's what makes the Hoff is that he's Hoff enough to be in on the joke, which then makes him Hoff-tacular.
Yes, he's the most...
Because he has enough self-confidence to be in on the joke which makes him the Hoff. Everyone wants to be the Hoff because
I mean,
the Hoff.
He's the incredible Hoff.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Yes.
play on Marvel. Before we get into this, folks, if you're listening here, make sure you go in and subscribe to our show wherever you can. Share the show. That'd be great. Give us a 5-star review wherever you can. Check out all2real2.com and you can find everything there. Talk about it again later in the episode. So, on this topic here, initial thoughts here on this movie.
You know, I thought it was it's very 90s, especially with the way the guns sound. You know, the 90s was really obsessed with, like, silencers for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure why, but it seemed like every movie that had action in it, people are using silencers on guns.
Yeah, and it's that pew sound or whatever.
Yeah. Pew, pew. And not everyone was using silencers in this movie, but quite a few were, or at least a few, some were. And, it's just very campy. You know, it seemed pretty low budget. It was fun. It was fun to watch. I mean, I didn't really take it too seriously. It was, it was before the MCU. It was before everything became, like, serious and, like, they're, like, an overarching story, you know, with, like, millions of movies kind of leading up to a certain thing. It was like a standalone film that was supposed to then become like a series.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like I said, I mean, besides this, the only other thing coming out right around then was Blade, and that hadn't hit really. Because, I mean, this premiered on May 26th, and Blade...
Blade came out, in summer.
Yeah, I think it was probably like a couple months later.
Yeah.
And Blade kind of reinvigorated the whole comic book movie thing. You know, like there hadn't been a really good comic book movie since maybe, you know, Batman Returns, you know?
Yeah.
So this Blade kind of brought it back. So it was like still in that kind of cheesy era of nobody taking comic books seriously. So, and even Batman and Batman Begin, I mean, Batman and Batman Returns was kind of a cheesy world, but not real cheesy. It was darker, obviously, than like, you know, the Adam West Batman, but
yeah.
But yeah, it was like, you know, but this was kind of, it kind of felt of the same ilk as maybe the Flash TV series that starred John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was out in 1990. So it was kind of still of that kind of ilk of cheesiness, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't horrible in my opinion, and I mean the cast was decent. It just lacked something. I don't know. I couldn't really put my finger on it fully, you know. Let's get into this some info here. We have, like I said, David Goyer wrote this. It was directed by Rod Hardy, who is an Australian television and film director. Has he directed anything of note? He directed a remake of High Noon in 2000.
Okay.
After this, he looks like he's done a lot of like made-for-TV films and miniseries and stuff, and he's directed episodes of like The Librarians, The X-Files, Dollhouse, Leverage, The Mentalist, stuff like that. So, you know, I can kind of see that by his directing, you know. None of those shows are bad. I love all those shows really, but you know. So it's we got him directing. And then starring in the movie, we got David Hasselhoff as Colonel Nick Fury. We got Lisa Rinna as Contessa Valentina Allegra Di Fontaine, who is now being played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus in the MCU.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was interesting. I did not realize when I was going to watch this that there had already been a live-action version of her character. So,
yeah,
that's interesting. Got Sandra Hess as Andrea Von Strucker. We got Gary Chalk as Timothy Dum-Dum Dugan, who looks nothing like his comic book counterpart. We had an agent, Kate Neville, who was played by Tracy Waterhouse. We had the S.H.I.E.L.D. director, Jack Pincer, played by Tom McBeath. We also had... what did we have? We had Ron Canada as Gabriel Jones, who's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. We also had... where is he? I was looking for this character. Oh, Neil Roberts as Alexander Goodwin Pierce, who was played by Robert Redford in the MCU. So he was a British guy in this, and even though he's American in the comic books. And in the comic books, he's, I think, more of a contemporary of Nick Fury. And in the MCU, he ends up being the guy that was actually secretly in charge of the Hydra cell with inside of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, different characterization here.
It's a different timeline.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So that's what we could say now. It's a different timeline.
Yeah. And I mean, David Hasselhoff is in the MCU, so. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, at one point, Peter Quill's dad changes into different people, and at one point he turns into David Hasselhoff.
Oh, wow.
So, technically, David Hasselhoff does exist in the MCU.
So...
as David Hasselhoff.
So the MCU timeline, David Hasselhoff appears as himself, but in another timeline, he's playing
Nick Fury. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So they like Nick Fury so much that they made a movie about him as like a tribute, and then they had David Hasselhoff play him.
Yeah.
So
I think it would have been better that in the Guardians movie if he were to have had a eye patch on. That's just me.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
It would have been funny. And even, you know, maybe have him take it off and be like, why am I wearing this? No,
or something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes,
that would have been funny.
Get it? Yeah.
It would have worked. But, little trivia here, though, is he did not even want to wear the eye patch in the movie. In Nick Fury. He thought it was stupid, so he didn't. He tried to talk them into having Nick Fury not wear his... you know, eye patch.
Right.
What she is known for.
Exactly. It's like, that's a hard no on that one.
That'd be like Captain Hook not having a hook. You know?
Right. Like, what the fuck? Let's just rewrite the character, revamp it. No.
What ended up making him decide that it was okay to wear the eye patches, he got pink eye that week that they started filming. So.
Wow.
In the eye that he has the eye patch on.
Wow.
So, I mean, I don't know how much of this is true, but it was in the trivia on the Internet Movie Database.
Yeah.
So, we got that going on. So, you want to talk about what happens in this movie?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, do you want to start or should I?
Hey, I can start off.
Okay, go ahead.
It kind of got this sort of like building where someone's being cryogenically frozen, and then there's a guy who's just kind of watching over. That's this whole thing. And he ends up killing the dude who comes to talk to him. And then, you know, it turns out there's like a bunch of stuff going on between the Hydra agents and then S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are trying to, you know, get access to this person or whatever. One of Nick Fury's, I guess one of his friends or someone he used to work with, ends up getting killed by this woman. And then he's like, Nick, take care of her or whatever. And then she does this, like, over-the-top yell, like, laugh, like, oh, isn't that cute? The last thing you say is Nick. And then she lets out, like, this cackle with, like, a bunch of echo and delay in the background. And we hear this kind of laugh many times throughout the film, actually. And then we cut to Nick Fury is, like, living in a cave, I guess. And he's, like, has a pickaxe, and he's just, like, hitting that against the cave wall for some reason. I don't know, just to work out, I guess, or something. I don't know what his purpose was for doing that.
Don't you do that when you're hanging out in your cave?
He's literally just hitting the same spot, and you can see that he's made, like, some progress, but it's like, I guess he's just working out his muscles? I don't know, and then...
Well, that's how I work out. I have a cave in my backyard that I just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could do push-ups, or, I mean, you don't need to use a pickaxe, fine. And then, I guess that was just supposed to show he's a badass. And then, and he's always got, like, a cigar or, like, a cigarello in his mouth, like, at all times throughout the movie, like, minus, like, maybe two scenes.
By the way, I love the word cigarello.
I know, isn't that cool, cigarette? Because that's what it was, I thought.
Yeah, and, I know, it's a fun word, though.
Because it's like a miniature cigar, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a half.
It's like a cigarette, and the cigar had a baby.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah. And then, like, some, you know, the people from S.H.I.E.L.D. come with, like, that kind of ship. Like, we kind of see the ship in the
MCU. It's a helicarrier, is what they call it. Like, I mean, it's
right.
Yeah, we see it more in, like, in the MCU now, and in, like, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television series, which is what I think this was kind of going for to be, but it, you know, was ahead of its time.
Yeah. And then they basically just, like, recruit him, and that's kind of how the movie gets going, basically. It's like they convince him because they killed what was his name? Not Dale, it was
they killed Clay Quartermain.
That's right, Clay. I guess that was, like, one of his best friends in the agency or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, because of that, they found the video of him saying take care of her, Nick, and didn't really know what that meant. Like, I guess he meant take care of the woman who killed them, because she's, like, the daughter of the dude from, I guess, the first Captain America movie, I think.
She is Von Strucker's Baron Wolfgang Von Strucker, who basically was a super villain who kind of created Hydra, or was the head of Hydra.
Right. Was he also, though, in the first Captain America or not?
I think he made... let me see. Trying to check. I was going to look into this, and I forgot. He appears in Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
Played by Thomas Kretschmann. I don't know how to say his name. But anyways, he appears in that. He also appears in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series as played by a different actor when he's a teenager.
Okay.
So, yeah, because there's time travel in that show. So.
Right.
Yeah. So we got that. But yeah, he's basically kind of like the, I don't know, want to say the grandfather of all the evil doers in the MCU, you know? Sort of.
Yeah.
The bad guy that inspired all the rest. He's like Hitler, in a way.
He is. He's like the meta-human Hitler or whatever.
Yeah.
At least the... Yeah. So, he has two children, a daughter and a son, and they're trying to, I guess, bring him back from the ice or whatever. And they're gonna threaten to bomb Manhattan unless they get $1 billion... Blah, blah, blah. That's pretty much the whole movie. I mean, not a lot happens in this movie. I mean, it's pretty much one.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
I kind of liked.
$1 billion, that's all. But yeah.
Anyway, that's so. It. That was like, it's a hard billion. Like, not two, not ten, just $1 billion. You know, I would have been like $1 billion and $1 just to like be extra annoying about it. But
I would like $1 billion, $1,009.75.
And 1 peso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd like a random, you know, I'd also like a Google gift card.
Yeah, in a toaster oven. Like, yes. Just make the most ridiculous, yeah. Man's ever. And so, and that's kind of what I liked about the movie, though, is that it didn't have, like, 18 different plots going on at once, which a lot of the MCU, unfortunately, has kind of delved into. Where
I mean,
just,
it
like,
did have some parallel storytelling towards the end, which I thought was kind of cool, where you saw two teams doing different things, and it was actually kind of done well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, basically what we have is, like, you know, it's a lot of... It does seem, now that I know what it is, like a setup for a TV series. Like the pilot of a TV series, you know? Like,
yeah, because the ending.
Yeah, because they're setting that up. But also, like, we're being introduced to all these people and their relationships more than anything. You know, because you're basically finding out, well, there's some kind of history between Val and Nick in the past. You can tell, you know, they're not delving too deep into it, but it's enough to make you want to know that maybe if it were to be in a TV series, that then they could delve into it more.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some kind of history between what they call Timothy, which is Dum Dum Duggan, or Dugan. Is it Duggan or Dugan? D-U-G-A-N. I don't know. I don't even know how to pronounce it. He's, you know that there's some kind of history between Nick and him. And, you know, it's like, especially if you've read the comics. But if you haven't, you know, it'll get the casual viewer interested in being like, oh, I wonder what the history with them is, if people actually cared about this. You know, so at the time.
Right.
But, like, 1998, you know, you had a lot of better television series out there, I think, so. And different types of shows that weren't of this ilk. And plus, at the time, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, it's kind of funny, like, the whole thing where, like, in the 80s and 90s, comic books are for nerds, you know, I'm not going to watch that shit.
Yeah.
But now those same people are the first ones in line to go see, you know, the next Marvel movie in theaters.
Yeah, but then they also kind of kept their anti-nerd mentality, because whenever they see a woman on screen, they freak out, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, that's some of them. Some of them are different. You know, it's like some of the people actually changed and progressed with life, but
yeah,
the actual people that are good and, you know, realize that they can change, that change is possible in human beings.
Yes, it is true.
But anyways, so they basically, you know, like you said, they were shown this recording of Quartermain's death. We get Nick Fury ends up learning that we got this Arnim Zola, who we've met in the MCU as well. He was played by Toby Jones in the MCU in Captain America First Avenger and Captain America Winter Soldier. So he's like this old guy in a wheelchair that's in a safe house in Berlin. And there's like these random things too, like we were talking earlier that there's the deadly kiss thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like some kind of spray that you put on your face and you can change the way you look to look like somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they have that in one of the Marvel movies? Or no. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I know I've seen it in something else, like some other TV show. Maybe it was in, I don't know, maybe it was even in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know where I've seen it, but I've seen something like that before. But it's just weird the way the special effects work on this.
Yeah, and, so she sprayed that right to...
And I thought it was really... Okay, not saying that all women look alike or all blonde women look alike. But the woman she was disguising herself as looked too much like her for the effect to actually work.
See, I thought it was the same. I didn't even know about the spray. I mean, I saw her spray herself, but I didn't know. I thought that she was doing that to kind of like cure herself from like the poison that she put on her lips. I didn't even know that was
she
like
changed
a
her face, but it's.
But, I didn't even know that.
But yeah, like I'm saying is like I noticed it, but barely. Like it like the two women that they could have been sisters. You know, it's like
maybe they were. Yeah, because the first was like a SHIELD agent and she was impersonating her.
Yeah.
And she wants to get the Hoff alone. And I thought she just changed her clothes. Like I didn't even know
it had been but I mean the thing is everybody already knew what the Baroness looked like. So, or AKA Viper.
Yeah,
they already knew what she looked like, so but the fact is she did change her looks, but it was like they should have cast somebody else as the woman she was posing as.
Yeah.
Is my point. I don't know. It was just weird.
I thought the spray was just to kind of disinfect her own face so she wouldn't get the poison, you know, on her face or whatever. That's what I thought it was for.
Yeah. I know what show it was that had some kind of like spray thing. I think it was The Flash.
Oh, it's right. Well, they had a. Yeah, it's right. They could. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Because like Harry had to make himself not look like Harrison Wells because of the fact that Harrison Wells was looked at as a bad person in that time.
Right.
You know. And that yeah. So yeah. That made sense. Okay, yeah. So it's very similar. So
it is, yeah.
But it was done better in The Flash. But then again, it was, you know, 20 years later, so it's...
I mean, with The Flash, you have like 180 episodes to build a story, you know?
Yeah, but not even that. I mean, the effect was done better. The special effect.
Oh, yeah.
That was my main, you know, issue. The way it was done, it was just... It looked cheesy. I mean, I will give you some of the effects in this movie were good for a television budget at the time.
Yeah.
And that's why I can understand them not even another reason they wouldn't want to pick this up as a TV series. If it costs $6 million to make this one, you know, hour and a half movie, I wonder what like, you know, a 42-minute episode every week would cost, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have like these actors to pay for too, like,
The
Hoff. You know, a few of the others.
I think that's where the $6 million went. It's just in the Hoff's pocket.
Probably half of it at least. And the other half, like, all right, we got to put this little weird device machine looking thing. That's the other thing, too. A lot of these shows from this era always had, like, this weird, like, ball that always had, like, this weird stuff, like, hooked up to it.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of science fiction, you know, shows, like, to do with, like, science or technology. You know, it's just,
Yeah. And then you always have these, like, big, long tubes that people lay in that are kind of like MRI tubes, but
you can
see into them. And, so, I mean, basically, we kind of gone over the plot, but interesting little, you know, throwaways. I mean, is there anything else we need to talk about from the plot that we've missed?
Yeah, because the kiss was, like, released a toxin, and it was supposed to kill him within 48 hours at the longest. And then part of the story was to get some blood from her to make a cure out of it so that he could live. And then the other mission was, of course, to stop them from shooting these missiles into Manhattan.
Yeah.
And also to make sure that they don't... That the two children don't, you know, resurrect their father or whatever. So that's kind of like the...
And the missiles weren't going to be like, you know, missiles that just, like, destroyed things, like, blew them up. It was like a toxin missiles, too. So it was going to, like, infect with the way the wind was carrying things. It was going to end up, like, the guy at one point says it was going to end up affecting all of New York, Pennsylvania, and most of Ohio.
Well, I guess they got... Part of that, right? You know, with the East Palestine.
Exactly.
You know, about 26 years later, but
yeah.
You know, Or 25, whatever.
It's that what is it, predictive programming or whatever they call that?
Yeah, what else? Conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I've heard about that many years ago. They're like, yeah, they put a movie out there or a show to like get you used to the idea so that when it happens, it's not gonna like shock you as much. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's still gonna shock. Like if you make a movie about aliens who come down to Earth and are like probing people and like abducting them, like that movie, what was it called? Encounter. The really messed up movie from the 90s where they abduct a dude and it's like so like freaky, like they got like this weird slime all over him and shit. What was it called? It wasn't called Abduction. It was whatever.
I don't know. Yeah. So
it was like early 90s and it was like a really serious movie though. Like,
yeah.
Really. But like you make a movie like that and you're like, oh yeah, this is gonna get people used to the idea, so when it happens it's not gonna scare them as much. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure it's still gonna scare
them. I mean we had the movie Outbreak and Contagion. You know, I mean, obviously things didn't happen quite as bad necessarily in the world as in those movies. I mean, well, maybe they did. But I watched both of those movies and COVID-19 still freaked me out. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing, too. So, like, part of those conspiracy theories are also as well. It's like, oh, they're trying to tell us what's going to happen. I'm like, wait a minute. Why would the conspirator, sorry, it's a weird tangent, I know, but
oh,
why
no,
would
ahead.
The,
yeah,
I mean, we are talking about espionage here, so I guess it kind of fits
yeah.
a little bit. Why would the conspirators tell you beforehand what they're going to do?
That's never weird. Made sense to me. It's like the whole QAnon type stuff where they say that,
like,
you know, they're just hiding it in plain sight. It's like,
but why?
Why
would you
would
do
they?
That? But they're like, well, that's because how arrogant they are. They just want to show up. How they're like, okay, but that just seems like an extra layer of work just to do that. Like, I don't just to like what dance on your grave essentially. I mean, it seems like a lot of work
yeah,
for you know. But whatever,
you know. And like I said, you know, it's like things happen. It's like, I mean, if all of a sudden, you know, I'm playing a video game somewhere. And then I get recruited to go fight somewhere like in Love Last Starfighter.
Yeah,
I'm still going to freak out.
You beat the game, so now they got to recruit you.
See, that's my wishful thinking, is that that's the movie that comes true.
Exactly. Like, they made a video game specifically so that someone would beat it. They're like, awesome. This is, that's a weird concept, too.
I know. I loved that movie as a kid. That's why.
No, it's a great movie, yeah. But it's like there's no other way to recruit someone other than making an arcade video game and putting it outside of like a convenience store, just so like some random person. What if it was a little kid who beat the game? He's like 10 years old. They're gonna recruit him.
It's a 4-year-old little
to be
girl.
Like,
no.
Exactly. Like it's just a weird plan, but
or even worse, like at the opposite end of things. Not worse, but like there's like an 82-year-old guy who just happens to play the video game outside.
Like, yeah. What if you got like Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, or something like that?
They're gonna
like,
die in a week.
We gotta recruit you, Jack. You gotta fight the aliens, Jack.
The one thing they're completely like, you know, have dementia and stuff, but the only thing they're good at is playing Last Starfighter.
Exactly. Like, well, we found a niche, so you know. Wow. Yeah.
The guy's drooling, but he can still fight starships or whatever.
Exactly.
Yes.
He's gonna go down fighting like he always wished. Wow.
Oh yeah. We gotta make that movie.
Sure.
Anyways.
The Last Starfighter 2.
We'll just wait until the actor who was in the original Last Starfighter is in his like 70s or
80s. Yeah. He might be. That movie came out like 40 years ago.
I know.
More.
he's in a retirement home, and now the game is on a cell phone, and he has a little cell phone. He's
yeah, his little
calling
like
his
grandkids
on, and then he finds the Starfighter game and starts playing it, and he gets recruited again. Here, we've got this written already. Come on, let's make it.
Like, Grandpa, you're really good at this game, and he's like, you have no idea. And then, he starts having flashbacks, and we could like introduce time travel into it too, where like the old version of himself actually comes back in time. It actually turns out that he is the one who taught the guy how to be so good at the game.
Now, if you're listening out there, movie studios, and you hear any of this, I want Matt and I to get paid for this.
Yeah, exactly. Not gonna steal this from us.
Yes,
it's not a freebie. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, back to Nick Fury.
Yeah.
So, one of the other interesting things in this movie is he has a life model decoy.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, which comes into play later, and supposedly you can like carry it with you, and that
it like mimics your movements, I guess, or something, or
yeah,
weird.
But I just didn't get the point. Like somehow you can carry it with you, so like, and then it gets bigger.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. Maybe I have like a little miniature version of yourself.
You got a miniature David Hasselhoff in your pocket or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like you just take it out and throw it on the floor, and then.
I mean, I'm sure some women would want a miniature David Hasselhoff in their pocket, but for other reasons completely. But
I mean, true Baywatch. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Got that muscular chest and the.
I mean, not to mention Knight Rider. Come on, no. I mean, this guy drove a car that talked to him and sounded like Mr. Feeny. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They should do a remake of Knight Rider and have David Hasselhoff play him again.
And then William Daniels, who's still alive, still be the voice of Kit. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I love William Daniels. Anyway, so Mr. Feeny is my idol. Anyways,
really. Yeah, he's a good teacher.
Yes. I wish I had a teacher like Mr. Feeny.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Anyways, we keep getting off track. I think it's because this movie was boring.
That's not what happened. I mean, it's not much to talk about.
No, much happened. So anyways, in the end, they end up at one point. They think they killed. That's the reason I was bringing up the model, the life model decoy, is the bad woman thinks that she killed Nick, but it was actually the life model decoy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that happened. He also has, he had a bomb inside of his eye socket.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Underneath his eye patch. That does not seem dangerous at all.
No, I mean,
to have a bomb inside your head.
Because he also had something in his eye patch as well that was like supposed to be some kind of I forgot what she said it was. Like, oh, it's clever or whatever.
Yeah.
Something. And but that was kind of like a meant to be like a second decoy to kind of trick her into thinking like that's all he had underneath the sleeve was like this eye patch thing. But the real thing underneath his sleeve, or I guess in his eye socket rather, was the plastic eye that was also like a bomb. So I guess it was like plastic explosive or something like that inside of his eye socket.
Yeah, like I said, that's not dangerous at all.
Oh, it's not at all. Because like if you get hit the wrong way, you know, your head's going to explode. It's totally fine.
It's right next to your brain. I mean, that's not dangerous at all.
I mean, I guess you wouldn't feel anything. So I guess that's like the upside. You would just die within the millisecond. Like you would feel nothing at all. Like,
yeah.
So it would just be over like that. You hear like a, wait, what? Boom. And then that's it, you know.
I think I'm going to go to the eye doctor and see if I can have my eyes replaced with bombs.
With bombs, yeah.
Yeah.
So my question is, was he always wearing this, even when he was doing the pickaxe thing in his cave? Or did he just put that in?
Wait, did he get it when he joined back with S.H.I.E.L.D. or...
Right.
Yeah.
Or is this a new thing that he was given by, you know, the new team or whatever?
I mean, I'm just imagining him hanging out at a party and it's like, hey, you want to see a cool thing?
You know,
because like people with glass eyes will do that when they take out their glass eye.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and he just takes his out and he's just like, you know what? This could blow us all up.
Yeah. They're like, no way. And he's like, wait. And he throws it and like, Like it blows up a tree or something like that.
He's at a
like,
pool party and he just throws it in the pool.
Yeah, and it just like water just goes everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I told you, don't mess with the Hoff or whatever, and then he just leaves. I don't know. And then
don't mess with the Hoff.
The other thing he had, which was admittedly pretty cool, was a gun that only works for himself.
Yeah.
Like a sort of like electro pulse gun or something like that.
Yeah.
That's like genetically like monitored to his own DNA or something like that. So
you know they have guns that'll only work to your fingerprints.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know. That's an actual thing. Like which is smart. I mean a lot of like law enforcement have these, I guess not a lot, but like some law enforcement do. You know, basically like if the like, you know, person attacking the cop gets the gun, they can't use it on the cop.
Right.
Yeah.
Or also too, like the illegal gun trade, that would pretty much shut that down.
Yeah.
Well, because you know, if it doesn't work for, you know, only works for the one person, unless you can just cut off the person's fingerprints and put them on your own. That would be a lot of work, you know.
Yeah.
Do that for every single illegal gun, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of effort. So the dude in the wheelchair, I forgot his name, the guy that was like the...
Zola or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he tried to shoot, you know, Nick, you know, Fury.
Oh, yeah, and the virus he created, by the way, is called Death's Head Virus.
Yeah, because of the whole, you know, Hydra. Because they kept saying Vipers throughout the movie a lot, too.
The Von Strucker chick, she went by codename Viper, which she never went by in the comics. But anyways, so
is that because they weren't allowed to say Hydra that much or something? Because they kept
they called them Hydra, but
okay,
she was just Viper, like that was like her, you know, like how Bruce Wayne calls himself Batman, you know, it was her her like villain name or whatever. Yeah
And like there's a lot of like bad puns throughout this movie. I wish I had written them down because they're so like a lot of them were just so bad that it was funny. Like at one point he says something like, oh, what was it, it was so bad, oh I can't remember when it was, but it was like near the end of the movie where he called the her dad sicko, and he goes, your pop sicko, get it? I'm like, oh my god. Like,
and that's the point where she'd be like, no, I really don't, can you explain it to me
exactly
in detail?
Like, she kills him just because of that. Like, yeah, it's right, pop sicko. I'm like, oh my god. Like,
I've come to the point, and I think it's just because I'm an asshole, whenever anybody in my life tells me get it, like when they're making a bad joke, I'll be like, no, can you draw me a picture?
Oh, he's just like, can you tell me, like, pull it out of them, like
no, can you explain it to me like I'm three, come on. Yeah, no.
Like, no, I give up.
Yeah.
Screw you, I'm not telling it out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't do it all the time. I don't mind. it's a large endorsement for being a friend of mine if you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, they win in the end, but you do have that Viper is shown to have been, had restored her father, Baron von Strucker, to life at the end. So
yeah,
we've got that little
unfortunately like,
cliffhanger that
you that know, never happened.
It's still hanging. Yeah.
We also did have like a sort of make up with Val.
Yeah.
Nick about their previous relationship. So my whole thing, because we never got a series, so I wonder in this show if Val was also a double agent for Hydra, because she actually seemed like she was one of the good characters, like not even like when she was alone, like not like she was trying to play a part.
I think,
but then again,
in the comics, I think in the comics she's been both good and bad.
Okay.
So it just, you know, depends. And it could have been something like if it developed, you know, in this alternate universe where this television series existed, that, you know, by the end of the first season, we find out that she's a double agent or something, you know? Yeah.
We should petition them to finish and had the same actors for the ones that are still alive and play their parts. And then we could do like a time thing, like a time, like they lost time because of like Spider-Man and Doctor Strange or whatever did something. And then that went into their previous timeline somehow and then brought them back here, but they aged in real time as well somehow. I'm not sure how to explain that part, but
or they could just have one of the many movies that Kang's gonna be in where he's fucking with time.
Yeah
just have a timeline where randomly David Hasselhoff is Nick Fury.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that would, oh my god, we should totally write a letter to Marvel and ask them to do this for us, for us in particular,
just for you and me.
Just to make a movie, yeah, for two people. Or series, whatever.
Well, if you listen to some reviews of certain movies in the Marvel Universe, they think they're only making them for, like, two people, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Two woke people, you know, that's all they're doing it for, is these woke people,
it's
you
the
know?
Woke,
yeah.
The Marvel... The MWCU, the Marvel woke...
Yeah.
Cinematic Universe, yeah.
The WCU, man. The woke cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody's black and gay in that, man, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, there's two characters. Yeah, everyone. But a cast of 20 characters. 2 out of 20 is not everyone. Still too many. Oh, okay,
but there's a woman, too, man.
We got to have our token. I love that when they're like, our token woman, our token gay character. I'm like, okay. So our token straight character, our token white kid. Well, no, they're normal. Oh,
well, it's
I
like,
got it. Thanks
it's like today, as we record this, which is Tuesday the 28th, of February, they released the trailer for Peter Pan and Wendy.
Okay.
And some of the characters in there are like some of the Lost Boys are girls.
Oh boy.
And some of the characters that are typically drawn in animation form, but this is a live action movie,
right?
As white are people of color.
Okay.
So.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I've already read comments that I shouldn't have read.
The next culture war. That's the other thing I love too about these are like grown ass people. Like some of them are in their like 50s who are like, it's like, dude, grow up. Like, I mean, no offense, but like, I don't mean to do like the shaming of like watching children's show because kind of we do that a little bit.
Well, yeah, but it's not even that. It's like, the thing is like you and I watch things, but we realize that we're not necessarily the demographic for everything.
Right,
we watch.
Exactly. We're like, okay, it's interesting, whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, if you start to realize that, like you can be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and still, you know, understand you can also still not like something.
Yeah, exactly.
But there is also this ability to not go on the internet and complain about that thing you don't like.
And write like
and
a
I know
thesis.
I say this as somebody that's, you know, we host a show where we make fun of movies. But we do it in a lighthearted way.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And we understand, you know, it's not like, you know, we're being vicious towards these people. And our comments are not based on, you know, racist or sexist or transphobic or anti-Semitic, you know, comments or something, you know? It's like, yeah.
Or any kind of hate for that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I try to make a point almost every review we do, which sometimes I forget to, but like I try to do it. It's like, I'm always just kind of like always bring up the fact I'm like, well, at least these people actually get to do this for a living. Yeah, I'm sitting there making fun of them, but I'm sitting there recording something on my phone in my bedroom. Like, yeah. You know, like, so it's like I'm kind of like making fun of myself for making fun of the movie or show or whatever. So it's not, again, like with a Scott Galbraith, you know, from the Reconciler, you know, I'm glad that he didn't take too much offense to it because it was like, it's just, it's like part of our shtick almost. It's not like, you know, like, you know, men bad taste or bad faith.
No, I love the fact that, and I invite anybody from any movie we've talked about, including the one we're talking about right now,
Yeah.
If you want to come on our show and talk about it, I'd love to hear what happened on the set, why things were the way they were, you know, hear the good stories about how much fun you had making the movie or whatever, you know, and we're going to be doing that with one person or two people from a movie we talked about soon, which is The Reconciler, which we were talking about. We're going to talk to the director, Sean Justice, and Scott Galbraith, who was the writer and one of the stars of the movie. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the main characters in the movie, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say, and I hope you tune in for that. That'll probably be our next episode. That's, you know, I know we're getting off topic a lot here in this episode, but this movie it's not one of these movies that's so bad it's easy to make fun of.
That's what I'm saying. We have to fill time, otherwise it'd be like a minute long episode. Yeah. So we gotta go with the trivia and the name of the actors and who directed it and and the bad puns and the cigar. Oh, that's the other thing too. So at the very, well, not the very end, near the end, there was a little joke where they gift Nick like a case of Cuban cigars, and he's like, you're not gonna court martial me, are you? And then like the new guy's like, I didn't see anything, sir, or whatever. Like, ha ha ha. Because, you know, the Cuban embargo or whatever.
Speaking of like trivia though too, prior to this, Canon Pictures had a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. movie in the works in 1985-86.
Oh my god.
You know, which would have included Nick Fury and stuff, but it never materialized. And Canon Pictures, you know, I'm hoping that someday soon we are able to cover Masters of the Universe produced by them, which basically was part of the reason the company died.
What, the live action movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that, okay, I know what you're talking about.
The Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren.
Frank
Langella. Yeah, that was one of the movies that basically bankrupted the company. So
that's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah, and I mean, it was also made around the same time as Superman 4, which we covered on a previous episode. So,
oh god,
yeah, that was made by Canon as well. So, yeah,
that one was bad.
Yeah,
that one had that's the one that had John Cryer, right? Who played Lex nephew. Then later on, he played Lex Luthor in Supergirl.
Yeah. Which they recast for Superman and Lois, which I don't understand. But
really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're bringing him in now as an, you know, the 80th person to ever play Lex Luthor, basically. So it's like,
well, that's right. He was from a different timeline, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. Like they ended up retconning things because originally, it was considered to be part of the Arrowverse timeline, but now Superman and Lois is a separate timeline. And no connection to the Arrowverse or something.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, they supposedly retconned that in season 2 of Superman and Lois.
Oh, that's stupid.
I haven't finished watching that season yet, so I don't know. But yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna watch it now that they did that. Come on. Yeah. The whole point of that was to, you know, connect it to, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
They're, I think it was trying to undo the Arrowverse because it was such a long thing, like 10 years or whatever, so
I think they wanted to kind of just be their own thing. So
yeah,
I understand that. But when you have the same actors who played Lois and Clark in there, you know, it's like,
you could just say it's a different timeline. That's because they open it up like years. Because DC started the multiverse way before MCU did. Like 2014 or something like that. You know, when they first introduced the multiverse, you know, the different versions of that's the kind of problem though with, like, you know, an MCU or an Arrowverse or whatever. It's like, I understand, you know, to a certain degree of like connecting stories and stuff, but at some point it just gets too complicated, you know. And
then you get into the area too where if you want to bring a character back and the actor doesn't want to come back or he's dead, you know, if you recast the role, you can write it away as a different timeline. And it makes sense. It's easier.
Right.
But it also kind of makes things kind of confusing to some people too, you know.
One of the kind of idea that it takes away, it's like, again, like, how, like, you know, anyone who dies in the story can just come back to life. It kind of takes away the importance of it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I guess, like, with me, I've never let anything like that bother me because I've watched General Hospital since I was 5 years old,
right,
on and off, and, you know, somebody would die, you know, and come back as a different character, or they'd die and the character would come back again, or you'd be watching on Monday and one actor's playing the role, and then on Thursday it's a different,
right,
actor. You know, you're just like, okay, it's like,
or the person's twin brother who no one,
yeah,
knew about. You know,
it's like
kind of like how weird.
Yeah,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. My favorite thing always was like when they recast a role and it'd be like, the part of Nicholas Cassadine is now being played by, you know, and you're just like,
right. It's like, okay, thanks for the heads up.
I always wanted to make a movie like that where the whole movie we recast a character in every scene.
That would, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and you have the narrator come in every scene and to be like, the part of Mike is now being played by David Hasselhoff. You know, and then,
yeah. Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
But kind of like how we were talking about Kane last week, you know, about how, you know, we both kind of hope that it's not going to be a thing where like a different version of Kane is going to show up in each movie. It's just not going to be like, you know, it's not going to like solidify the story, like, oh,
yeah,
we killed Pharaoh Ramatut Kane in this movie, and now we got the weird dude with like the helmet thing with like the neural link or whatever to his brain, like that Kane, I forgot his name,
yeah,
like not Morpheus.
No.
Wow. Yeah, Morpheus shows up and
yeah,
it's the Matrix, bro. He takes over Kane's body through the Matrix. Then Kane finds a way into the, no, we're not like doing a crossover between Matrix Revolutions and the Kane Dynasty. That would just be a terrible.
The word Matrix has been soiled for me because of Andrew Tate anyways. So,
oh, I know. They've been like, that's not even them. Like David Icke and stuff have been talking about the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
For, like, it's like the whole conspiracy theory. I was going to say Matrix. The whole conspiracy theory milieu. You know, they're always talking about the Matrix, I think.
Yeah.
I wonder,
well,
I
mean,
if
you got the whole red-pilled and blue-pilled sort of thing, too, you know.
Well, that's what,
like,
I love,
yeah,
about that is that this movie was made by two trans women siblings who,
yeah,
at the time, they were not out as being transgender. So they were, like, they were called the Wachovia. What's their name? It was
Wachowskis.
Wachowski brothers. Now they're, yeah, Wachowski brothers, or at least.
They just go by the Wachowskis.
The Wachowskis,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And apparently the red pill and blue pill thing was sort of like a, you know, a metaphor for like, take the blue pill and you can just kind of stay in the closet and just live an easy life, but it's not really going to be very fulfilling. It's just going to be like a fantasy or a dream. Take the red pill, you're going to see reality as it is, and it's going to be harsh, but, you know, you're going to know the truth. So that was kind of like a metaphor for like their own, like, experience of being like closeted transgender,
yeah,
and coming out. But also, and I don't know if this is true, it's kind of the rumor mill, so don't quote me on this, but I've read a few things written by trans people who have said that I guess during the 80s or maybe even during the early 90s, one of the popular pills for estrogen was red colored. It was like a hormone, estrogen. So, you know, but which is funny because now you see all these right wingers and all these like Andrew Tates and like, take the red pill, bro. The feminists are lying to you. It's like this, but like you're taking the cue from two transgender women. Like, but again, they don't think logically, so it doesn't make sense. But like, you know.
No, it's. I mean, we could go into a lot of detail on this, but I mean, it's the whole idea that they take and. They choose and pick things from movies that you think half the time they probably haven't even seen.
Good at all, you know.
I mean, the Where We Go One, We Go All is actually just a line from a trailer from a movie. That's
what movie?
It's I think White Squall or something like that.
I've never even heard of that.
it was like an 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I mean, it does sound kind of like a slogan that someone had come up with. No.
Yeah, like, it's a 1996 movie.
Oh, okay.
That starred Jeff Bridges and...
Jeff.
Yeah, wow. It was Jeff Bridges, Jeremy Sisto, Scott Wolf, Ryan Phillippe, Jason Marsden, David Lasher, a bunch of people.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. It's a good movie. But it was about teenage boys discover discipline and camaraderie in an ill-fated sailing voyage. That's what the movie's about.
Hey.
Yeah, but I guess in one of the trailers, they say, where we go one, we go all, like as a thing, you know, like that they would say together in this group of people.
Right, like a sort of camaraderie.
Yeah, like kind of like the whole like Three Musketeers thing, you know, and all for one, one for all.
That's what
it
sounds like. Yeah. I mean, it's a reworking of that.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. And somehow they took that one line from the trailer of the movie, mind you.
It's not the movie itself.
It got cut before the movie was even released. And then they made their slogan. And then they claimed that it was like written on the boat that John Kennedy had or something. Oh, it's like, yeah.
It's so weird, man. Yeah. And that's the weird thing too about, I know we're like on a tangent here, but like the conspiracy theory, it's like they all love JFK for some reason, but he was a Democrat. It's just weird. Cause like even the David Icke books, like it's like, because like all the conspiracy theories pretty much like have like a single source, so they're all kind of just copying off each other. But like, it's like every single one of them has a soft spot for JFK, and it's just so bizarre.
I think it's because he was murdered.
Well, I know, but a lot of people were murdered. Lincoln was murdered.
It was within like, you know, recently recorded history in the scheme of things, like within a time period that some of these people could have been alive. And I think that they just, because the first big conspiracy theory was the JFK assassination. So I think it just kind of seeped into all the other conspiracies and then created multiple conspiracies in this multiverse of.
From that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I always found it bizarre because, like, you know, every other president is supposedly working for the New World Order, which, by the way, they used to call it the New World Socialist Order, but then they took the word socialist out of that because they wanted to convert more people that way. So I'm just not putting that out there. That's what they used to call it. And and then it was like, JFK, though, he's fine. I'm like, wait, so every other president from George Washington up to JFK, and then after JFK, is working for the New World Order, but he was the one that was like, not, and that's why he was killed, bro, because he wasn't working for them. Wait, Lincoln wasn't working, so Lincoln was killed, so would that mean he... Yeah. Getting too close to the truth, whatever. I'm sorry, tangent, I know. But...
And anyways, back to Nick Fury, who I don't think was working
for the New World Order.
Maybe he was.
Maybe he was.
Oh, but anyways,
yeah.
Or maybe his life model decoy was.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, any other final thoughts on Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I always want to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because of the TV show.
Yeah, right. No, we pretty much said it all. I mean, it was very...
Yeah.
Not a lot happened.
I mean, it's worth a watch, especially if you're like a Marvel fan, to see what might have been or something, you know? But, yeah.
Yeah, right. That they...
But yeah, that's about all I can say for it. The performances were over the top. Some were good, some were bad. yeah, but it is what it is. It's a product of 1998.
Yeah, exactly.
TV specifically. Anyways, folks, thanks for listening. Sorry that we went off on major tangents here in this episode. But that's okay. That's why you love us. And, or maybe it's not. Or maybe that's all a conspiracy theory.
Maybe that's part of the conspiracy.
Yes. And, but folks, be sure to check out alltoreal2.com. Check out our Patreon. Pretty soon we will be having some Cullen Park Productions t-shirts out, which is the parent company of stuff that we do. And the money from that will go to help fund the podcast and other projects that we may or may not do in the future. So if we're not going to do them, they're obviously not going to fund them. But you know, how stuff works. Anyways, but, you know, check out our Patreon. That's a good way to help us out. Check out our YouTube channel. Subscribe there, because that'd be good. And subscribe wherever you're listening to this show. And share the show with your friends. Give us a hashtag, and there's a chance you may win a prize in the future. I have yet to figure out what the prize is, but we're working on it. And I'm going to have something kind of cool for people if they're interested. And we'll pick somebody at random. But hashtag the show, hashtag All2Real2. That's A-L-L, the number 2, R-E-E-L-T-O-O. Hashtag that anywhere you share the show. Until next time, folks, be good to each other. Remember that Sesame loves you, and I love you. And bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.